Hey, this is Aaron Allen from Smoke and Ashes.
Hey, this is Pete L'Esperance.
And you're listening to Music's Journey Podcast with my friend, Kim Sear. It's getting high on Sunday.
That was the debut release for Canadian country music's hot new duo, Smoke and Ashes. And we'll be playing that one in just a little bit. We'll hear more about the lyrics, the music, and the artists here on Music's Journey. I have a fantastic show for you all here today. Rock unites with country for Canadian country music's hot new duo, Smoke and Ashes. And just after meeting for the very first time in the songwriting session back in April of this year, just a few months later, the pair have released their first single, and it's called High on Sunday via Sharp 9 Music, and are preparing to release their debut EP later this year. So there's so much buzz and exciting news around this new duo. Here to talk about their new project together is artist, producer, and songwriter Peter L'Esperance and multi-award-winning artist Aaron Allen. Welcome to the show, Pete and Aaron.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
I've been excited about this one. I've been waiting. Oh, man, what an entrance you two make.
We haven't been anywhere yet. We show up.
Well, you guys have made an entrance and a splash to country fans already. You guys have accomplished so much right out of the gate.
We've definitely been fortunate. We're pretty grateful for it. Thank you. It's been a nice little ride already. It's been pretty easy. You know, a lot of these things take forever to brainstorm and put together. What Aaron and I did was very organic, and it's been pretty easy so far, and people seem to be enjoying it, so that's amazing for us.
Oh gosh, well, like let's talk about it right out of the gate. Debut single added to 4 Apple, 1 Spotify playlist with over 61,000 streams already. Sirius XM stations all over the place. Pretty amazing. And then to top it all off, CMA Ontario Artist of the Month. Seriously, congratulations to you both.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much.
So, Pete, you know, tell us about pairing up with Aaron. You know, did you think that it was going to have this kind of excitement and success so quickly?
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, the thing with Aaron and I, it has been quite organic. I mean, Aaron's been working with Jeff Delzeal for the last bunch of years on his stuff, and I've been playing on all his stuff. So Aaron and I got to know each other that way, through working on his music, and also we hung out at all the CMAOs and the CCMAs for years, so we became pretty tight. We knew we were kindred spirits, you know what I mean? We had a lot in common, and we finally decided to write a song, and we got together and wrote High on Sunday. I kind of had the idea kicking around for a while, and Aaron and I bond over the grain, there's no doubt about that, so mm-hmm. I thought it was a perfect song to write with Aaron. So we got together and we wrote that track and we enjoyed it. And we said, hey, let's set up another write. So we wrote another song the next week and we went, huh, this is kind of good. We like this. This is fun and it's easy. And let's smoke another one. I mean, let's write. we wrote 6 songs in 6 weeks. We kept it, you know, we kept it all really compact. We had the whole EP written in 6 weeks, and that's kind of where we're at now, finishing up production on the rest of the tracks. The single is at radio and on, out there in the world, and here we are.
Your first baby's gone.
That's right. The little guy left.
It's pretty amazing when you take a look at it. Aaron, can you tell us what it was like going into the conversation, you know, just about the idea with Pete and with Sharp 9?
Well, yeah, like Pete was saying, it was so organic. I don't think either of us saw this coming. We wrote those 2 songs very, very easily, and we just knew that it wasn't Pete and it wasn't Aaron. It was something totally different. Mm. Like, we weren't writing stuff that I would put out solely, and then we weren't writing stuff that he would probably put out solely, but together we went, hey, there's some magic here. And so when that happens, like, we've been in this business so long, when something happens so easily like that, because it is, you know, a lot of times it is a uphill battle. You're pushing a boulder up the hill. Mm-hmm. When it just flows like that, you know, hey, you better pay attention to this. This is something special.
100%. That's pretty special.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Pete, what was your writing process going into this particular writing session?
I co-write all the Harum Scarum stuff with Harry Hess. podcast. We do all that together. But for the last bunch of years, I've really been focusing on more playing for other producers, being a studio cat, being a producer myself. And I really, to be totally honest, haven't written a song for myself since my last solo record, which was like in 2012. So I kind of got out of that in my mind, leaving it to the professionals, you know, in Nashville, trying to get those songs or whatever good songs from publishers whenever I'm producing stuff for people. And frankly, this year with COVID and a few kind of serious life things that happened around me this year, I just decided that I wasn't done yet. And I wanted to get out there as an artist again, which I hadn't done in a really long time. So I wanted to write some songs with some buddies and just see what I had. And that's what Aaron and I were writing for when we started writing together. I was going to try to do a solo project as a country artist. And then we wrote that song, and we both liked it. And it was like, well, who's going to do it? I don't know. It's like, well, hey, let's do it together. So this was very, very fresh for me because, truthfully, I hadn't written a song for like that was pointed at me or even an artist that I've been working with for a really long time. So It just came fast and furious, all six tunes in 6 weeks. And like I think we both have said, it's just super easy, really fun. And I think we caught something cool.
Is it really refreshing to be able to create those storylines with those twists and hooks that you guys have in country in comparison, you know, to what your experience has been with rock?
Well, for me, definitely. I mean, it's a totally different animal. I mean, I'm like two different people that way. When I'm playing in Harum Scarum and I'm doing the rock thing, I'm really a guitarist, composer thing, like writing either pop songs or pop country songs or country rock songs, whatever we're talking about. That's a totally different animal, and it's a totally different set of tools, you know what I mean? Like, I'm one thing when I'm writing for Harum Scarum, and I'm a completely other animal when I'm writing for anything that I'm going to sing or that Aaron and I are going to sing when we're writing our stuff. You know, everything right from the fact that we're both baritone singers, so we don't sing in that big, high rock range, and neither one of us sound like a rock singer, so it's a completely different toolkit, you know, like I said.
Yeah, it's really cool, you know, to see this pairing together. For you, Aaron, when it comes to your writing style, this has been something completely different too, as you said, something that didn't feel like anything else you've ever done before. Take us through that writing session.
Yeah, for sure. I'm published with Arts and Crafts, so it's my job to write songs all day, every day, and that's what I do, right? When I write Aaron Allen stuff, I'm sure we can see that it's steeped in emotion and stuff like that, so the Aaron Allen thing sounds like the Aaron Allen. But with Pete, when he had that idea high on Sunday and we wrote that, I've never really written anything like that. I've written thousands of songs and co-writes and whatnot, but I had really never written anything that sounds unique. I do consider it like pop rock, country. I write that all day long, but nothing like this. It really intrigued me after we finished that song. I just really want to be a part of this because I've never written it. And to me, it was a brand new path that we could go down, and it just really excited me. And truthfully, now that it's all done and out there, I'm like, well, you know, I didn't really expect that to happen. It's like people are really digging it, and they're getting it. And, you know, when you write a song, obviously Pete and I loved it. We love what we're doing. But when the world goes, oh, there's something really cool here, then you go, yeah, we were right. We have this little unique thing that we're doing together, and it just would have been wrong to deny that. So the process was a little bit different because I will tell you, when I do write with other people, there's no green involved. That's for sure, but that's just my thing. I don't do that when I'm in the writing room. But with Pete, we found that we really needed to just have it an open road.
Yeah.
So if we were hitting a roadblock, we both take a break and we go do our thing and we come back and we go, oh, there's the easy breezy again. and we maintain that throughout every song. They all have an easy breezy feel. And luckily, we found that formula on the first song and we know what it is. When you have the psychology in the room, sometimes it takes 50 writes to figure out what the three of you or the two of you are going to do. This, it was just there. We just understood it very quickly.
As soon as I heard it, it was like, oh, man, this is so cool. This is so different. You guys nailed it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Kim. That means really, really means a lot hearing that. Yeah, we can't wait for people to hear the rest of it. We got five or six, we haven't decided yet, more songs. we're really excited to get them all out there. See what the good folks think.
If this is any indication of what's coming, hell, we're in for one hell of a ride. This is just so cool.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much.
With you, Pete, we're talking about you being in this industry for such an awful long time and, you know, the experience as a veteran and what success looks like. How did it appear to you? Like you said, you've gone through some hard stuff this year, some changes in life. What did the pandemic give to you in a silver lining when it comes to being able to be maybe more focused on creative side or, like you said, being able to work on that solo end of it?
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm unique in this way. I mean, every musician I know, we all say the same thing. It's like, hey, I was born for the pandemic. This is what I do every day. You know what I mean? That's kind of, you know, not to make light of the horrid situation. But I mean, the people that do what we do, there's a group of us, and we all powwow all the time, and we're all in our studios every day.
We're down in the dungeon every day.
Yesterday, and we FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And we're literally, God, I hate when I do that. My daughter, she's killing me with that. you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's kind of business as usual in some ways, but with all the social taken out of it, there's been even extra time put in, I think, by everybody. I think everybody's probably at home creating their opus or doing whatever it is they're doing, you know? It didn't seem to hurt business over the last year and a half, but I've still been tracking tons for a lot of producers. Everybody's still working, so... Mm-hmm. It's been great that way, but I think the key for me was just, my stepdaughter's father passed away this year.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Anyway, sorry not to do that, but it was just a really big eye-opening experience for me, mm-hmm. and it just made me realize that there was more things I wanted to do with my life that I wasn't doing, mm-hmm. which was being a performer again, being an artist of my own ilk, you know what I mean? Not with the harem scarum thing, but to do my own thing. So that's really what I got out of COVID.
For you, Aaron, like you have come so hot out of the gate with everything that you've gone through. You burst onto the scene with your debut single, Where Music Comes From, and it streamed over 1.1 million times on streaming platforms, including Apple Music and Spotify, amongst others. And then 2020, you were named winner of the CMA Ontario Rising Star Award and additionally caught up the attention for arts and craft music. Congratulations on that publishing deal, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And then Highway Mile EP, over 4 million streams. And you're currently, right now, 2021 for CMAO Ontario Awards as well for Record of the Year. And that nomination for Male Artist of the Year, too. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. I'm pretty excited.
I can't imagine how that success feels. What has it changed in your mind when you started out with everything this last year and a half has been and riding the high with everything, all that success, and then all the tour dates stopping, but you're still seeing such amazing rewards out of all your work?
Yeah, I got to be grateful for that. You know, the award nominations keep coming in and people keep listening, and I do feel like there's been growth throughout, oddly enough, throughout the COVID thing. Like, I signed mm-hmm. that arts and crafts deal pretty much at the beginning of COVID. And over that period, like, I wrote a few hundred songs. So I wouldn't have got to do that if not for COVID. So I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it just keeps going good. And I think as an artist, you're always scared that tomorrow it won't. So I'm just trying to enjoy it while it is. You know,
those
20 years of... I don't want to say those 20 years did go well, but I mean, I developed a certain amount of jaded skin over those 20 years, and you mm-hmm. go, wow, this is going really good. When's it going to be pulled out from underneath me? So I'm just trying to take it day by day if I can and enjoy it while it's happening. And I don't really focus anymore on getting number ones and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, I'm more focused on just putting out the best music I can put out. I do take into consideration what I think the world wants to hear, but most of all, it's been really nice just to feed my soul and the rest of the world's actually digging it.
Mm-hmm.
And I attribute that a lot to working with Jeff Dalziel.
Oh, gosh, he's good.
The songwriting, yeah, he changed my life, the songwriting, and having Pete play on everything, the caliber of players that are playing on my stuff now
mm-hmm.
blows my mind. When I hear it and Jeff sends it back, I'm waiting for a mix right now. But when I hear it, I just go, wow, okay, that's great. I've never had a revision. I just go, this is the best music I've ever made. Each song, it's the same way. He called me last night. Do you mind me putting some violin on your song? I go, do whatever you want. Just get it to me so I can hear it. Because each one, literally, I love better than the last one. It just keeps getting better.
Well, we're having him on the show, and I can't wait to have him. But just to pick his brain just for a second. It's just like there's just so much genius that's in there. I don't know how he does it, you know, when it comes to just being able to see right through somebody. His ideas are incredible, and it's just the end result for everybody that I speak to. We've talked so much about Jeff on this show. It's just, yeah. He works with so many artists.
I work with most of your, people you talk to.
Yeah. He's a pretty incredible producer, and, you know, it's just exciting to watch all the people that he's working with.
Definitely. Absolutely.
What have your influences been growing up? Like, what were they, Pete?
Well, I mean, the first bands I probably ever listened to were, you know, the Beatles and the Eagles and that kind of stuff. What was on the radio at the time, my preteens. And then heavy metal hit for me. And I guess I was around 12, 13 years old, just kind of the beginning of high school, and I got really into the rock thing for a long time, and that's where the Harum Scarum thing sort of developed from. We started that band when I was 19, and yes, those were my influences early on.
A lot of people don't even realize that you toured as a band member for Michelle Wright and the Stellas.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
We did a 6-week cross Canada tour for Songs from the Halls, it was called, when she was an inductee into the Hall of Fame here in Canada. And so that was really amazing. She called me out on that one through Brad Stella, actually. And then, I played with the Stellas for a while. We did a whole cross Canada stadium tour with the Zac Brown Band, which was pretty amazing and probably what gave me the bug to really want to get back into doing that.
It just doesn't matter what you touch, you belong. You know, because, you know, you're just that caliper of an artist, and you've played with so many artists, and the records, half the things that you play on, people don't even know about. And it's just, you've got so much talent, and as a songwriter, that's just pretty amazing.
Oh, geez, Kim, thanks.
Yeah, no, I don't know what to say here. Can we call you tomorrow when we're not together? I got a few people I want you to talk to, though. Would you mind?
What about you, Aaron, your influences growing up?
Well, I started out in punk. If you look at me, you usually think I'm a punker, a rock artist. But as I got older, that changed. I really loved pop punk when I was a kid. As I got older and didn't want to carry amps anymore, I say older, but it was like 20. I've been an old man since I was the age of 20.
Holy cow.
Says, you know? But it was a natural gravitation. People go, how do you go from this loud punk rock into country? And I go, it was really easy. Country and punk are exactly the same. It's honesty, it's four chords, and that's it.
That's so true.
Yeah, I just turned off the distortion pedal and I went, oh, punk is country. Okay, I can do that. And then I discovered Steve Earle, who changed my life, and I really focused on becoming a storyteller. I love that. Like, I love that aspect. Bruce Springsteen, Steve Earle.
Oh, gosh.
I just love somebody telling a story.
That's my favorite kind of music. Springsteen was just one of the very first concerts I had to go to see. And, you know, I loved him, you know, right from the beginning. Just incredible.
Exactly. When you're trying to write up to people like that, you never can in my eyes. I'll never be able to write up to their level. But, I mean, that's what keeps my songs. If you're liking my songs, that's what keeps them coming. I'm always trying to be up there with Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty, and that's how I feel. You know, that's how I write the best songs. I'll never get there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna damn sure try.
You can't say that. Not in my books.
Let me tell you, if I got a number one tomorrow, I'd be like, that's cool. What's next? You know, that's the way we are as artists, right? I love this. Thank you. But what's next?
Mm-hmm. We have been talking about it, so let's play it right now. The debut single, High on Sunday, by country music's hottest new duo, Smoke and Ashes, right here on Music's Journey.
I got a waist-deep pool in my backyard and a bonfire beater, six-string guitar. A couple good friends, the fun never ends till we hit the limit on the credit card.
Yeah, the sun went down and then it came back up, and you think by then maybe we had enough. But when all you got left are empty cups, well, it's high time to light one up. Cause everyone that I know is getting high on Sunday. Life's a river that flows, and like you're walking on water, it's alright. You and I missing a thing, don't need the lemonade on the old porch swing. No, everyone that I know is getting high on Sunday.
Host Kim Sear, and that is the instant hit that is climbing the charts in just a few short weeks from release, called High on Sunday, by my special guests Smoke and Ashes. So tell us, Pete, about producing this new EP.
Well, it's during COVID. It's always made a little bit more difficult because no one's getting together. Most of the work I do as a producer, I farm out the bass and drums, usually to Jeff Delziel. He played drums on all the stuff. Justin Cutting played bass on all the stuff. Brendan Waters played keyboards on everything. And I just basically would send out, I would do reference tracks in my home studio, build up the track, and then send it out and get people to do their parts on it. They would send them back, and then I would play whatever guitars and dobro and whatever was left. And then I would do my vocals here, and I would send out for Aaron to do his vocals. He would send them back to me. So it's all basically been done here in my studio with the players sending their stuff in remotely.
That's pretty amazing.
There's a lot of guitars in that studio, Pete. A lot of guitars.
There's a few. Yeah, there's a few. Problem.
Which one's your favorite, Pete?
Oh, you know what? Guitars are, they all have a job, but I guess if I had to pick one guitar, it would probably be my dad. My dad had a Martin, and I have the Martin now, so I have a beautiful Martin D28, but I guess it would have to be my favorite because it has the most sentimental value of anything I have. So,
nice. How many do you have there?
Somewhere around probably 25 instruments or something altogether.
Aaron, with this project, with this, as Pete just was saying, with everybody that's on this and hearing the possibility, I've just the rumbles that Jeff is going to be on the road possibly with you and Jeff Cutting, as well as maybe Jason Berry. Is that true?
Well, yeah, everybody, you know, it's good when all your friends are like, yeah, this is really good. And we all have this great mutual respect for each other's work. So when these players say, hey, like Jeff, I haven't played live in a lot of years, but I'll play live for this, I kind of went, whoa, really?
Okay. Nice.
It blew me away. So, no, and then Justin and Brendan and Jason Berry are interested in coming out too. And it's like, what happened here? You know, that just assures me that we got to be, it's not crap. We're not making crap. It's gotta be good. These guys don't need to play with us, but they want to. And that makes me feel like $1 million.
You know, I'm so excited to see all of you guys play together. That is just going to be a live show that I just don't want to miss.
Well, we're hopeful. I mean, the trick is going to be all these casts are super busy. So, it's really going to be a matter of trying to pull it together. But we will definitely want to do some stuff with this band. So we've got some plans. We've got some ideas for some multimedia stuff we want to do as well. And yeah, just kind of get some stuff together and hopefully get out there and start playing when there's some playing to be done.
So no tidbits of possibly how soon?
Well, not really. We don't kind of know at this point. And that's sort of the beauty of what we do without having a label. We're moving on the fly, you know. We're kind of getting it done as we get it done. We don't have any release date nailed down. I'm just finishing the production at my leisure, and kind of the playing thing is going to be the same thing. I mean, we're going to hit it. There's no question about it. We're going to do this. We're going to go out. We're going to get some gigs. But exactly how that's all going to roll out, exactly when that's going to happen, we don't really know yet. Mm-hmm. We're still working on all that. So.
Yeah. You know what? I can't wait. And I know that you and Jeff go way back, because you guys worked at Long & McQuaid together, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you know that. But I didn't even know that. I worked at Long & McQuaid when we were about, I think we were around 17 at that time. And I used to drive by his place in the morning. We both lived in Oshawa, and I used to drive by his place in the morning in my junker car and honk the horn out front or wake him up and drag him to work. Wow. That's cool.
I have never seen him play live for drums, so that's something I'm really looking forward to, because we always hear, just never got a chance to be able to see him. Have you ever seen him play live?
Aaron, have you? No, you haven't, I would guess, right?
I have never seen him. The best I've seen him is in that video that we did of that Neil Young song that we did during COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to see him ripping on the drums. I've never seen him play other than that.
Last time I saw Jeff play was back in probably the early 90s. And he had a whole lot more hair back then. He was the drummer. He had a rock band called Britain that did pretty well at the time too. And he was in that. And I think that was probably the last time I actually saw him play live. So yeah, it's been a while.
So when you guys got together with Sharp Nine, tell us about that, Pete.
Well, the Sharp Nine thing again happened in a very nice kind of organic way. Jeff was dragging me to all these CCMAs and CMAO things to do some networking and meet people and hang out. And I met Bill Miller, and we kind of hung out repeatedly at these shows. And, you know, we've had a lot in common, really got along, dug each other's vibe. And one day I was kind of just feeling a little frustrated about being the worst salesman in the world of myself. And I thought, I really need somebody to kind of do some stuff for me and make some calls and rep me and kick some ass for me. So I asked Bill at that time if he would be interested in taking on a producer management role for me. And he, I don't know how he feels about it right now, but he said yes. And then actually, I think it was even later that day, Jeff was talking to him as well and was like, okay, well, you're going to have to manage me too. So it was kind of born out of fire, just like that.
Ah.
And and it's developed for him since. Obviously, he's got a whole great team of guys now. And yeah, it's gone well. And then now Smoke and Ashes, when this things sort of came together, I put him on the hot seat again and said, hey, Bill, guess what? You want to manage the band? Well, yep, I guess I'm going to do that. So here we are. So we're his first signing as artist management as well. Maybe his only signing, that's really up to him. But yeah, so it's really a beautiful situation. I mean, because there's Justin and Spencer, and like I was saying, Justin played bass on all the stuff. Those guys are a production team that Bill's working with.
So, Aaron, tell us about working on the EP.
Well, yeah, the EP was a little bit different for me because I am used to, you know, going into the studio to do my vocal. So through COVID, I kind of had to learn to, you know, I bought a mic that's a good quality and learn how to use the computer a little bit, which I'm not a super fan of, but I've learned it enough to be able to track my vocals. And so it's been good. It's been a good learning experience. And now we're coming up to doing harmonies and stuff, which is different for me because it's hard not to have a coach. And as a musician, I'm a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of self-deprecation all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I need somebody there to go, it's good, relax, or no, that's really crappy, let's try again. But it's definitely, working on this is going to make me a better songwriter, a better melodist. Like, I am a storyteller. I was telling Pete this the other day when, you know, he sent me the tracks to do the high harmonies. I'm a storyteller, and I've never had to sing to anybody else in my life. They sing to me. So now that, you know, I have to sing to Pete, and you got Harry on there doing unbelievable harmonies. Like, when you hear Harry Hess on there, you just go, oh, my God, what am I doing in this business? This guy's got an incredible voice. So listening to all this and working with this caliber, it's only going to make me better, and I'm going to see it in my songwriting by doing all these different harmonies. It's going to give me more options. So even though I'm kind of forced to work on it myself a little bit, it's a great thing, and I'm really excited about doing that. So it's something new, brand new, I've never done before.
Yeah, pulling you out of your comfort zone and stuff that you do, and just realizing that there's more that, you know, that you're capable of. They just see it.
Definitely. And it's a scary thing, but like I told Pete, I'm just going to sing it a million times until it's right, and we're gonna learn how to do this.
Well, you should be used to that in, you know, production with Jeff in the past, because I know that that's one thing he does, is he just really concentrates on delivering that vocal over and over again until he gets what he wants.
Definitely. I've never worked with a producer who did that before. The first time I worked with Jeff on Where Music Comes From, like, I wrote the song, I sent it to him, I wrote it with my buddy Jimmy Thal from Sons and Daughters. And I sent it to him. He goes, yeah, this is a good one, let's produce it. And then, I don't know, a couple weeks later, he sends it to me. He goes, here it is, it's all done, come sing it. And he goes, just come down to my studio, to my house, the day before, and you'll just sleep over. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, why are we doing all that? And he goes, we're going to need a full day. And then I got in there, and I'm like, holy cow, we had to have sung for 8 to 10 hours. Usually when I'm doing a record, I could sing all the songs in 8 to 10 hours. But with Jeff, it's like, no, he goes through everything. He gets the right take. He's not really too interested in auto-tuning the heck out of anything. Mm-hmm. He's like, you got to get the right take. You got to get the right emotion, inflections. And just doing that, combing over that, if I hadn't had that education, I definitely would not be able to send Pete my vocals without those 3 years of working with Jeff and him hammering me. And it's fun too. It's not like it's really, really tough. We sit down, we chat, we have teas, we sing for half an hour, and then we go out on his porch and, you know, drink a tea and then go back for half an hour. It's a lot of fun. But the education that I've had in the past 3 years, working with these, you know, Pete, working with this team, has been, it's been priceless.
And like you said, with Harry as well, and working with Pete on this one and working on the harmonies, just something so new for you.
Yeah, like, I'm sure everybody knows Harry's vocal range.
Oh, but gosh, I mean, yeah.
You know, Pete and I are baritones, and this guy is just out of this world talented.
He's vocally. Power, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, his power vocals are crazy.
Guy knows what he's doing. Gotcha,
man. He's unmistakable.
You know, and I love the tone of the two of you together, for you and for Pete on this single. And I can't wait for what's coming up. Tell us about picking out the songs for this new EP, Pete.
Well, the thing, well, there was really nothing to pick out. We just stopped when we decided we had enough. We didn't write one extra song, which is kind of the way I'm used to working. Like, when Harry and I write for the Scarum stuff, we write exactly what we need for a record. We just don't finish anything that we don't really feel strongly about and really feel that it's 100%. And some people may think, you know, oh, well, whatever, that's just cheap. You got to write 20 to get 10. Well, I don't think so. I think you write 10 to get 10. You make sure they're good. And if they're not good enough, then you stop before you're done. So that was kind of the process. We only wrote the 6 songs. It took exactly 6 weeks. It was the most organic, like, we keep using that word. It's getting kind of gross, but but it's true. It was just so easy. We were just on the same page all the time. He would say, hey, what about this? I'd be, yes. What about this? Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, I don't think this is strong enough. I agree. Let's change it to this. Like, it was just so easy, and it just flowed. And I think partially, for me anyway, it, like I said before, it's because I hadn't really done anything for myself as an artist in a really long time. And down the path we were going, it was just so fun for me, because the kind of music is really the kind of music that I love in country rock, like the Eagles stuff. And again, not to compare us to the friggin' biggest band ever, but you know what I mean? In theory, we love the vibe and what they did, and that was kind of the spirit of what we were doing, to me, you know what I mean? And it was really fun to do that, because I'd never done that before. I'd never written anything as an artist in the country vein specifically. My previous solo stuff was very kind of non-committal, middle of the road sort of thing, and this kind of had a different feel and a different vibe, and yeah, it was just a very different experience for the writer, but it was great.
I'm gonna say it again, you hit it out of the park, Pete.
Oh, thanks.
For both you and Aaron, like, this is just magic, the two of you. How did the name come about, Pete?
Well, actually, the song High on Sunday, as we said, we wrote not knowing what we were really going to do with it. Maybe it was going to be a song for me, maybe it was going to be a song for Aaron. And when we decided to try to do something together, we talked about just releasing it as, you know, Aaron Allen and Pete Lesperance together. And then Aaron had the name Smoke and Ashes was going to be an independent label name that Aaron was going to use for his record company. He's like, well, what about Smoke and Ashes? I went, that's great. Do you mind using that? Like, can we use that? And he's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So that was it. The name was perfect. It went perfect with, you know, with the music and the vibe we were going for. It just felt absolutely right. So
perfect. I love that.
How strange that the name was just sitting there waiting for us. That's how weird and open this project has just been.
See, yeah, you just so never true. Know what one writing session's going to do, right?
Yeah.
So true. Changed a bit of our course for a moment, at least.
Exactly. And as I said, it's such a great course for us all. You know, we're the ones that are reaping the rewards for this when we get to hear the magic you two are writing and putting together.
Shucks.
Okay, so burning questions. Aaron knows this. Okay, we'll start with you, Pete. You've been performing on the biggest stages in the world. Was there a time that you were playing or met a band that made you really nervous?
There was a time I was spending a lot of time over in Japan. I was writing for their version of Guitar Player magazine, which is called Young Guitar. Young Guitar magazine sent me to Rochester, New York, to go do a review of a Steve Vai concert with the Rochester Philharmonic. So, as a young rock dolt, which I was, and I loved Steve Vai, he was one of my favorite guitar players at the time, I got to go review his show. So I was a bit gobsmacked over that.
Wow.
Yeah, so I actually got to hang out with him and, you know, meet him backstage and stuff. So that was pretty much that
wow.
for me, I would think.
I wouldn't even know what to do with that one.
Stand there and go, hi, Mr. Vai. Yes, Mr. Vai.
Yes.
Oh, you're fantastic, Mr. Vai.
Yeah.
Pretty much it. That's exactly what would happen. All right, for Aaron, what has been your favorite moment in your career so far?
Wow, my favorite moment. I think, like, just this weekend, I played a show with Tim Hicks, and my favorite moments always come like this. I am an emotional crybaby. If you listen to my music, you'll probably get that. But I love that
vulnerable side. What are you talking about?
Well, people look at me, I'm this big tattoo guy, and, you know, I'm a crybaby. But so my wife, a lot of people don't know this, but my wife and I, we went to school together. We were in kindergarten together. And,
wow. Kindergarten.
Yeah, small town. Well, yeah, small town. I think I went kindergarten grade 1, and then I moved away for a long time, and we reconnected at 17. But I played with Tim Hicks. And a guy came up to me, and I knew who he was because he looked exactly the same. I went to kindergarten with him. And he's like, I drove down from Chatham to see your show. And he had told me, I just had two strokes. This is a 40-year-old man and his wife. I just had two strokes, and I don't know what's in store for me. When I'm having bad days, it's making me a little emotional right now, but he goes, when I'm having bad days, I'll go in my basement, and I'll just listen to your record on repeat.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that's why I do it. Oh, it's beautiful.
That is awesome.
That's why I do it. That means the world to me.
Well, you've touched a lot of souls. You write beautiful music.
Thank you so much.
Agreed.
I appreciate that.
I'm giving you a hug through the phone.
Thanks, brother.
Virtual hugs.
I'm hugging you right back.
Bringing it in. We're all bringing it in. Okay. Okay. So, Aaron, this one should lighten up things a little bit. Most embarrassing moment on a date.
I don't know if I should tell this one.
You have to.
That's a loaded question there.
You got to make up for me, Aaron. Tell something good, buddy.
This one will probably make up for it. I don't know if I want to tell the whole story, but my current wife, God bless her, I don't know why she's still with me after all this stuff, but we had to be about 17 or 18, and I was out the night before and just goofing around, driving around town, and I threw a taco at somebody's car or something like that. And I'm sitting there, and there's a knock on the door. And this is the next day. She's over. You know, I don't really know her that well. We're just hanging out. Knock on the door. It's the cops.
Oh, no.
And the cops come out, and they're mad at me. Like, they banned me from this place where this woman worked because I threw a taco at her car. I'm like, I have no malice towards her, but she reported my car, and I was like, they were looking at me like I was evil, like, you're banned, you cannot go to Papa John's Pizza or wherever she worked, you're not allowed there anymore. And Amy's just like, what's going on? I go, I swear I did nothing but throw a taco at her car. And she threw a taco at my car too, so there you go. But it was embarrassing, and I didn't get arrested. It was Godfather's Pizza. I didn't get arrested. I just got banned from Godfather's Pizza.
See, and that's gonna save me on one of my questions that come down a little bit later, where it says, you know, were you rebellious or did you do anything illegal?
I can answer that question for you. I've done a lot of illegal things, and I've done my time for it. Let's say that. I don't do it anymore. I'm a dad. I'm married, and I showed my oats when I was a kid. So.
Yeah, and children, don't pay attention to anything dad's ever done. Don't repeat it.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, Pete, funniest person you've ever worked with?
Funniest person I've ever worked with? Yeah, well, it's got to be, it's a toss-up. It's either Harry or Jeff. Harry Hess or Jeff Delzeal. They both, I guess it's probably the history. I've known both of them for well over 30 years, so I think there's just a certain amount of familiarity you get with people that are actually hilarious, and both of those guys are just side-splittingly funny when you get them in the right situation, or even funnier if you get them in the wrong situation.
Well, hey, Phil's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. You're right. I totally forgot about Bill. It's unfair. He should be included.
Yeah.
It's got to be a three-way. It's got to be a three-way tie. For sure.
Okay, Aaron. I guess it's just organic that these questions are coming to you.
It's been so organic.
That's right.
That's okay.
Most embarrassing moment on stage so far.
Wow. I was playing a gig, and it was like a sold-out show, and I was not having a good night because there was this lady in the audience, and she kept yelling, take off your shirt, take off your shirt. Every time I stopped playing, she would say that, and I said to her, lady, trust me, you do not want to see any of this. I'm much better with clothes on. And then I was so frustrated because I was just focusing on this, and then somebody said, you suck.
Oh, no.
But they weren't saying it to me. They were saying it to their buddy playing pool. And I was just like, I literally said, I've had enough of this.
Oh, no.
I just lost it. And this was when I was probably 25. I'm like, I've had enough of this. I can't play with you guys yelling at me. I'm done. And then the guy came up to me and he goes, "No, man," even though the pool table was right beside the stage, he goes, "I was telling my friend that he sucked at pool, not you." But it was the whole night combined, I was just like, "Oh my God, I can't take anymore. Please stop yelling at me." Truth be told, it's really hard for me to remember my lyrics. So when people are yelling at me, I can't remember at all.
Yeah.
So the whole time it frustrated me. And, you know, being 25, I wouldn't do that now. But back then, like I said, with my wild oats, I was pretty crazy. So that was so embarrassing. And you know what? The next day, I called up the booker and I said, "Look, man, I'm sorry. I freaked out a little bit there. My bad," and really apologized for it in the light of day. But when you're in that moment, you're like deer in headlights. I don't know what to do.
I can't imagine.
I didn't know how to make it stop except for leave.
What is your favorite tattoo that you've got, Aaron?
Oh, wow. Well, it'd have to be my daughter's names. I got my dogs on me, my daughters. I got my daughter's name on the back of my head. I don't know why I did it, because I broke my own rule. I was a tattoo artist for 6 years, and I don't have any tattoos on my back. I have one on the back of my neck, but I can never see it. So I'm like, why did I go through that pain for nothing? And then I went and got a head tattoo of my daughter's name, which I never see. So I had to tattoo it. I tattooed it myself on my hand so I could see it. So it's got to be my favorite tattoo. I'll say the hand one rather than the head one.
Okay.
I don't see it unless I'm, you know, getting out of the shower or something.
Okay.
But, definitely my daughter Olive. And now I have to get Dylan's name tattooed on my head, or she's going to hate me when she's a teenager. I don't want to do it. It hurts.
I can imagine.
Can you imagine having these conversations about our parents? "Mom, Dad got my name tattooed on his head. Why didn't you?"
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm
these
overthinking.
These are different conversations. Yeah.
Much different. Much different. Okay, the most surprising person to slide onto your DMs, Pete?
You actually mean, has anybody, like, messaged me that freaked me out?
Yes.
Like, "Oh, my God, why are you messaging me?"
Yeah.
The most interesting person to DM me, probably, as far as being famous or whatever, is the very odd time I have a little back and forth with the always incredible Phil X, the guitarist for Bon Jovi currently. Yeah, just every once in a while. We know each other very lightly from way back in the day, and we just kind of give each other a little tap every once in a while online. So there you go. That's
very cool. Same question, Aaron?
I don't get a lot of people contacting me like that. When people... I never think that people are listening to my music. I know there's 4 million streams on Highway Mile, but I go, is anybody listening? But when people from, like, way across the earth, they're like, different countries, "Hey, we're listening to you here." What? Really? That's the magic of the internet. But I'm always surprised when somebody messages me from, you know, like Germany or something. "Oh, can you send me a record? Really? You heard me way over there? We love you." You know, that is really interesting to me, because you know people are listening, but you don't really register that until they reach out to you. And I go, wow, I can't believe that music can reach that far. You know,
absolutely.
It just blows my mind all the time.
Absolutely. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, two last questions, okay, Pete? Your best, most useless talent?
My best and most useless talent. Oh, wow. I got a bevy of useless talents. Depending on who you ask, some may say it's banjo playing in general, because that's generally frowned upon. So, but I have played it on things, so it's not entirely useless. I'm going to go with banjo.
Okay. All right. What about you, Aaron?
Jeez. I feel I'm pretty much useless other than writing songs. So I'm like that Dos Equis commercial. I do one thing really well, and that's all I do. So, useless talent.
Any noises you make, or just quirky things you do?
Well, let's say this. I don't get to use this talent anymore, but I used to do stand-up comedy. So I like to crack jokes. I like to have fun like that. So I'll say that's a useless talent that does nothing for me. My wife hates the fact she hated me doing stand-up comedy. Okay. I'd be out all night and come home making $5 and got heckled off the stage. Sometimes I feel there were good times too, but comedy felt useless half the time, that's for sure.
See, we peeled back all the layers for you, Aaron.
Oh, you don't even want to peel anymore.
Okay, Pete, last question. Your favorite song of all time?
Oh, wow. Favorite song of all time. If I had to pick one song, I think it would probably be a Beatles song. I think it would be probably Strawberry Fields Forever.
Mm, very cool. Okay, what about you, Aaron?
I'm going to say I have two, and this is honest. My two favorite songs, there's a song called The Wrestler by Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
A lesser known song, but I mean, every time I listen to that, I feel like he's talking to me. This is who I am. You know, I feel like that wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So that hits me. And Rachel Yamagata has a song called Elephants. And my God, I urge everybody to go listen to the song Elephants by Rachel Yamagata. If you want to cry.
I haven't heard that one. I have to listen to that one.
Without fail, every time I listen to it, it makes me cry. And I write with some people from Ireland. And I mentioned this song just off the cuff. And one of the people I was writing with go, oh, yeah, we're great friends. She lives down the street from me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Can you please tell her how much that song has affected me?
Wow.
And anytime I need to get, you know, the sadness out and I need to cry, I go to The Wrestler or Rachel Yamagata. I don't listen to fun things, just crying things.
You're so deep, Aaron. You're so deep. I love that side. I love that side. Okay. Tell fans where they can hear all the latest music and news that are coming up and any live performance and videos coming up. Pete?
Well, you can find all your Smoke and Ashes information at smokeandashesmusic.com. There are no gigs to see at the moment, but that is where you will see them when there are some. There is a shop there where you can purchase it anyway. But what was the question again? No,
I was avoiding everything.
Well, because you guys are working on some videos, right?
Yeah, we, in concept, we're trying to organize videos. What we're trying to do is get the band together that actually played on the whole thing and get them all together in a room and film all six songs, doing a live version. There we go. We put it out into the universe, Aaron. Now we have to do it. Yeah, anyway, that's the plan. So we're trying to organize that. But like I said before, the guys that we want to use are all super busy. So we're trying to see if we can make that work right now. But, yep, there will be some video content coming in the future, and that will hopefully precede us going out to play at some point.
That's great. We just want to remind fans again for their brand new single for Smoke and Ashes, and that's High on Sunday. If you like the song, make sure you download it, add it to all your live streaming platforms, and share it on all your playlists. Request it at your local country radio station. I want to thank my very special guests, both Aaron and Pete, for coming on the show today for Smoke and Ashes. You guys have been a blast, and thank you so much for putting up with all the questions.
Thanks a lot, Kim. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Kim.
All right, you guys take care. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
So I hope you enjoyed my interview today with both the incredible talented Aaron Allen and Pete L'Esperance for country's hottest new duo, Smoke and Ashes. You can check out the interviews at musicsjourney.com and the interesting articles with the latest music and videos with all the artists that I interview on nowandthenmagazine.com. You can also listen to all the podcasts on all your streaming platforms under Music's Journey Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Everyone that I know is getting high on Sunday. Life's a river that flows. And like you're walking on water, it's all